I officially call this meeting to order at 1:03. I'm excited. Thank you all for joining us today. Amina, I'll ask you to do the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you would, the flag is behind me. Let's have Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Anne had volunteered to do the roll call, but she is not here.
Nicolette Arupo, LaValle Burke, Linda Cardosa,
present.
Jerry Chang,
present.
Andrea Collins, Jerry Geyer, Robert Wine, Jimenez, Susan Langley, Harry Keeney,
present.
Patty Michon, and Louis Trissi, Joni Nichols, Janelle Adushu, Rachel Owens,
here.
Sarah Siegel,
present.
Barbara Sloan,
present.
Amina St. Matthews,
present.
Dave Sullivan,
okay. No more. We have a quorum. Thank you. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair pre-identifies a different time at the start of all meeting for public speakers. Do we have any public comments?
No, there's no public comment.
Welcome, Anne. Is it appropriate then we do a brief introduction?
Absolutely.
So let's do that because again, some of us know each other, some of us don't, and who comes from the.
So Linda, would you start briefly?
Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Linda Cardosa, and I'm the director of the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program here in Orange County.
Hey, Chair, Herb, I have a great Chinese City Association.
Barbara Sloat, I represent New Portreach on the council, and I'm on the board of the Oasis Senior Center in Corona Del Mar in the bubble.
My name is Susan Kindley, and I'm a manager of the Saddleback Church. I do community outreach.
My name is Tara Stiegel, and I'm a volunteer of South Shores Church. We have a large population of seniors.
Hi, my name is Sam Lidry. I'm the Senior Citizens Committee of Laguna Niguel, Chamber of Commerce of Laguna Niguel. I'm a volunteer, and I was supposed to take roles.
That's all right.
It's okay. We got it. Children's is a little confusing.
Yeah. No problem. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Amina. I am the Director of Programs at the Kimberly Family Community Center.
Hello, my name is Carrie Keene, and I'm a volunteer with the Parkinson's Exercise Program in South Orange County. We're hoping to grow to Northern Orange County.
My name is Marco Rodriguez. I'm a program manager here with the Office on Aging. I oversee the Information Assistance Call Center and then our health education program. And I'm inviting Christine Allen to introduce herself too. She's our supervisor for the call center.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christina Diaz, and I'm the call center supervisor, Office on Aging. And I think I've recognized some of your names. I think I've spoken to you over the phone.
Rachel Owens, I serve on the Irvine City Council Senior Advisory Council, and I'm a local insurance broker.
Colleen Colvin, Office of Aging. I'm one of the program managers. I oversee the Senior Citizens Advisory Council, the Area Plan on Aging, Strategic Master Plan for Aging. I oversee that too. And then just general policies and procedures for the office.
Hi, Janelle.
Hi, I'm Janelle. I'm the executive director at Sunrise of Huntington Beach.
glad to be here. I'm terribly sorry I'm late. I know it's rude to be late. I ran into a little traffic.
So there, you will see that there is not, quote unquote, a lot on this agenda for this meeting. Still trying to get us sort of focused on what our goals are, and in that, for the goals, what tactics, in other words, what projects are we going to take on that we might make a difference in the community with. So our wellness reimagined community. Wellness is enabled by communication and inspired by the services to our OC seniors. Our goal one that we discussed in January, well-being reimagined, will advocate for communicating the availability of resources to the senior community. And one of those objectives is to focus on expanding communication. So we took on the project of trying to get this lovely county resource out into as many hands within the community as we possibly can. And since February, we are personally responsible for about 2,500 copies, not just being delivered to a senior center, but actually into the hands of somebody who might take it home with them and actually use it. So there are some additional copies here if anyone wants to take a few. If someone feels they'd like to have a bigger stack, we can make arrangements for you to get more. Sue with Saddleback has been delightful, and she hits me for these. I'm going to have to keep them permanently in my trunk of my car, right? So anywhere that you think these will go, I have an insurance group who's going to hand these out when they have Medicare meetings in general and training sessions, but they're quite useful in any of the clubs that meet in your senior centers. If people don't realize the extent of the services that are here. So this is a good tactic for us to actually make a difference. They printed, Marilyn said, 40,000 copies. So we've made a very small dent in that distribution, but we're getting them to places that are a little, that are not as traditional. So I challenge you all, if for next month's SCAC meeting, I will arrange to have another 500 copies delivered to SCAC, and you can take as many stacks as you would like. And if you would just communicate back to me where you just, how many you took and where they were distributed, we'll keep track of that 2,500 unit and see if we can't make a bigger dent. One of the things that Marilyn, who is the editor, had asked was, if we can show the county supervisors that these are getting out into the hands of the community, and like I said, not just stacked someplace, we might find that we get some funding to print these in additional languages, which has been a request in the community. So I think that that's a useful goal for us to have as a committee. It's concrete. It's something we can report back to the general SCAC board, and provides certainly a good service in the community. The other goal that we talked about and focused on was to advocate for increased access to technology and promote the use of technology among seniors. So again, I went to this book. Surprisingly, one, the senior centers aren't even listed in this book. So they're, yeah. Linda seems to think that they might have been in a printing before, but they're not currently. And there are no specific listing of resources that might be available on how to use your computer, how to use your phone, although there is a very short 2-page explanation of how to set up your smartphone in here. So one of the things I would like to pose to you all is that we take the list of senior centers that are throughout the county and see if we can't quantify who in which senior in what city is offering what kind of technology support. I know that Mission Viejo, right, is for Laguna Niguel, has an outreach with one of the local high schools, and they do individual appointments. I know in the city of Irvine, we have 3 computer labs with trained volunteers in those computer labs, and people can make individual appointments for them. So I am proposing to all of you, if there is support for this, that we assign some phone calls to the directors for some of these centers and see if we can't quantify what's out there so that we can make some decisions about what's missing or what's working where. I need some. I see this.
Do you have copies of that?
I do not have copies of this.
Copies.
But we will get copies. We wanted to be sure that it's not
okay. Or just
it's okay.
Email.
I'm not giving you copies. No, I'm emailing you. And there are 34 cities. So between us, we should be able to at least create a little kind of report that would go back to SCAC in a big way.
Is there an efficient way to divide and conquer if we already know that we are in communication with one of
them? Let's talk about this. I'm going to guess that you're willing to talk to Huntington Beach.
I will be there tomorrow.
Okay. I will certainly take care of Irvine. Barbara is probably going to take care of Newport Beach, right? Is there anyone else? Which one is that, Barb?
Is there one in Fountain Valley?
There is one in Fountain Valley. It's called the Center at Founders Village.
Take that one.
Okay. Sue, you're in South County, aren't you? Susan, you're in South County?
Yes. I think there's one in San Clemente. We have a close relationship with Sauerbach Church in San Juan Capistrano.
Okay.
Tomorrow we have a grocery distribution in San Juan Capistrano on Friday and in the woods. So I will make sure that the heads of those magazines.
Okay. But also if you could inquire about what technology support services they're offering in those centers and what that looks like.
The only center I know of personally is the Dorothy Visser Community Center in Sesame. And we have contact there. And I actually, our lady who takes extra food there took magazines there today. So I can check on their, I'll have to check on their technology and I'll inquire with Rancho
Santa Margarita.
Rancho Capistrano, our church.
No. Oh, the Capistrano. Also,
you have another guy. But that center is it actually in Aliso?
No, but it is. That's the country senior and community.
Yes, it seems like it's
on Aliso.
It's on Moulton.
Aliso Creek, but it's really
in Moulton.
Yes,
Aliso Creek.
Yeah. I will follow up to each of you with what you volunteered to do for.
Oh, you were volunteered for.
I was going to ask. Thank you. Before I volunteered. Right.
Rachel, just for the purposes of efficiency, is there a list of contacts that you could maybe send to us?
Yes.
And then what would be the most efficient way for us to report back to you what our findings are?
I think just a brief email.
Email back.
Yes.
Email's the best communication.
Email's the best communication and pull together a spreadsheet.
And then if there are flyers or classes or something like that, we should get that as well and provide that to you.
That would be lovely.
Okay.
That would be extra and much appreciated.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll take care of Dana Point because I don't think anyone's representing Dana Point, but just like extra.
Okay.
And then should we also contact? Do they also do something for Park and Rec? Sometimes I see classes.
There's a brochure that they're Laguna Niguel Recreation brochure that comes out that has it is broken down into all the programs and services that are available for youth and teen and seniors. As well.
Irvine has that too.
They do occasionally, I believe, offer classes on technology. I know they had a partnership with Dana Hills High School at one point where some of the students were volunteering, get volunteer hours, you know, for come in and help with programming iPads.
If you want that info too from that. From the Park and Rec.
Certainly.
And, yeah.
I think the more we can pull together, at least quantify what's already out there in support of this is, again, important, and then possibly get some of that added to the next printing of this as a countywide. And I see your mind's going like crazy.
so we're gonna get, I see extra of
yes.
I'll get them to the Sea Country.
Okay.
Marco, would you like to talk a little bit about calls that maybe comes into the call center with regards for assistance with technology? Is that a big demand? Christina.
Yes, hi. Okay, so yes, we do get some calls from seniors that are looking for classes to maybe figure out how to go through their iPad, how to set that up. Some of the smartphones also, like your iPhone. We also get calls on asking for assistance with that.
Okay.
We have a referral, which is Get Set Up,
yep.
that we refer to. And pretty much that's it. I mean, we will give them any of their senior centers in their area that might have that technology piece.
But it would be useful for you to at least have an idea of what might be at that senior center then.
It would be helpful. I know there's tons of resources, and I do visit some of them from time to time for their congregate dining, but it would be helpful just to get a little bit more and give you an updated information on what the senior center provides so that we can get those resources out to callers.
Is Get Set Up available for anyone who calls?
Yes, it is. You can go online and you can go online to Get Set Up, and then it'll take you through a little question and answer kind of a thing, and then somebody will call you with your need.
So Get Set Up was when we started bridging the digital divide.
Uh-huh.
That was the free service, and they do have videos on there as well. So when they go online, they can see like tutorial videos. But that's all free. I think there's a password that you got to enter orange, I think, to get into the free videos. Orange.
Yeah. It sure. Says it right there in the tutorial on that first page.
Yeah. We have, when we get back to the office, I'll get the link and I'll share it with all of you so you guys can.
Yeah.
So when all of that money was given out for purchasing the iPads, and then were they distributed to seniors?
Yes,
based on an on-demand?
It was first come, first service.
Okay.
So first it was broken down by
district. It was district.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
district. So was there a training program that went along with the
district?
Yeah. Get Set Up was basically the package.
How it all happened, because I was working with the supervisor partner at the time, and it was for a program that we initiated, mm-hmm. and what happened was, we were able to get enough progress funds and CURR funds to fund the distribution of 2,200 iPads. The iPads came with a data plan and also Get Set Up as well for a year. So, and it was based on like each district, the five districts were allocated a certain amount, you know, and what wasn't used in one district got passed over to another, wherever the need was, got redistributed. So,
is there any follow up?
That was over, well over, actually, it's 2020, yeah.
What's kind of technology, and I think that we struggle with for seniors and anyone really, is that operating systems, if they're not up to date,
yeah.
the technology
yeah.
goes out of, it becomes obsolete so quickly.
Sure.
It's like, we know that from our iPhones, right? So we know that every 2 years, there's new cords or new plug-in. They're just, everything has to be kind of upgraded mm-hmm. on a regular basis. And if the operating systems aren't being kept up to date, then the devices aren't compatible.
Right.
And so it's just such a difficult situation for anyone to navigate, much less seniors.
So yeah. That's why I was thinking, was there a follow-up to those individuals who received the iPad to see how's it going? Do you have,
yes.
Are you having trouble? So maybe we could have another follow-up with those individuals. I mean, I'm just thinking of how we can get the data about what troubles they're having and, you know, what are the standard problems that they have, and probably through call center as well.
Yeah.
You know, what are the kinds of calls that gets really smart?
Yeah, we have a couple of our Vin and Eric that are kind of working with that program and setting up the iPads
mm-hmm.
as well, and then following through and walking through the process. If anyone has an issue with them, you know, they give us a call and we help them with it. They are county they're county-owned iPads, so they're really out on loan to people. So there are certain security provisions that we have out there for them.
So you know where they are.
We know exactly.
You know where they
Yes.
They're supposed to be.
Yes.
Well, so, but within that, then are we making the assumption that as updates are coming available, that those users are getting access?
If they turn, I believe if they turn on the iPad, there's certain features on that iPad that will do automatic updates for them that has been installed by OCIT, our technology department. So whatever is available, like your phone, if I turn on my phone, it says an update's available, you know, when you want to do it. So, yeah.
Well, if we don't restart it, then as long as the folks are restarting, that's powering off, counting on.
Yeah,
update.
They're on that.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to know how many people are actively using it.
Right.
How are they using it? What apps are the, I mean, like just getting some information about what the usage really like.
We have that information. We just, we had another committee ask for it. So we do have that information available. We're refining it a little bit because there are some things in it that didn't make sense to me. So we're doing a little bit more research on it, but I'll distribute it to everyone as we have a final document.
Yeah. So this email that you sent on Monday didn't go to everyone?
It went to everyone. No, it went to all the SCAC council.
Yeah, it went to the SCAC council.
Yeah, not everyone who's on the SCAC council. So it went to the council.
Janelle, did you see her?
I don't know.
She doesn't.
I don't know because I have so many emails that I haven't gotten through all. So my teammates.
Well, if you did see it, there'll be a follow-up coming to it. Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, so I did see it. And my immediate response was, so the get set up, and there was an install count on here. So get set up, if they were preloaded, this doesn't tell us it was used 1,605 times, but that 1,605 of the 2,200 users ads actually have access.
Well, 2,200 iPads, there's 1,605 Get Set Up has been installed. That's one of the default apps that has to be installed on the iPad when it goes out. So there's a difference between, okay, if there was 2,200 given out, wouldn't Get Set Up be on it, you know, the same amount of times? Well, it is. But if the iPad hasn't been turned on in like 30 days or whatever, it wouldn't register when we do our count on it. So that's what we're trying to get IT to look into a little bit more.
Because my response was 1,200 people use YouTube.
You'd be surprised.
1,200 people use Clips. 1,100 people used iMovie.
And some of those
apps, I'm still trying to figure out what GarageBand is, but that's okay.
Some of them, those apps with the asterisks next to them, they're a default set of apps that comes with the Apple suite. So they, when you put Apple on your device, you get all of these with them, you know. So, so yes.
But 650 used Facebook, 400 used Chrome. 350 use Netflix, 158 use Prime, 131 use TikTok, and 130 use Disney Plus. According,
you know, what would be amazing is if there was an app that was installed that was related to the Office on Aging and the Answers Magazine, where it's like a resource app. But very interesting.
We have a resource app, don't we, Papa?
Yep, I don't know.
Have those installed on the iPads, you know. As a very easy way to navigate, like I know I need something, maybe this will give me some resources that I can search easily.
Yeah, that was going to be my question to Marco, because I know at one time I was just trying to find it on here. It wasn't easy to find on here, but it was the Office on Aging set of apps. And when you redid the landing page and you had all the different icons, I was wondering if one of the icons was technology. Because I remember if you clicked on an icon, it would then list providers, which would help with what you're trying to do here.
It doesn't. The only reason I know that is because I searched for it this morning.
Ah, okay.
Exactly.
That's why I can't find it.
Yeah. I did this exact same thing. There was nothing new. It's a real nice app, and it has all, as you were saying, all the different programs that are available. But I searched under technology, and nothing came up.
So can we get a demo of that? this community committee. That would be
you guys just don't see senior resources. So when you search
in senior resources.
Yeah, when you search in your search engine, whatever, if it's iPhone or if it's Google, it's OCC resources.
And
you just download it. It does make you select zip code.
Is there a QR code or something that
we had some on a flyer, but I gotta see if I can find the actual QR code.
So they were first.
If you don't have an iPad, if you have an Android,
it should be. It's on a phone.
Oh, yeah.
Search OC Senior Resources.
And under the App Store, so that you can download.
So they were first come, first served. Not everyone served then. Who wanted one? Is that correct?
Like
correct. We still have people that call them after.
Uh-huh.
But there is going to be another program called Chat. They're still working.
Oh. What's it called? It's
Chat. I don't ask you what it stands for. It's something with the state, and I'm not overseeing that program, but it is part of the office. I mean, it's going to be a second round of iPads.
Oh, is that the $3 million grant that was just approved?
I think so.
So
think
that's so not an additional data plan access for the first 2,200 folks who got the iPad.
No, totally separate. Totally separate programs.
So it's conceivable.
It's a state program versus the other one was like
county.
So it's conceivable that somebody who got a 1-year data plan no longer has a data plan for that machine, even though they got it in 2020.
But if they have Wi-Fi, they should be able to connect everything. But they won't be able to connect like your cell phone for just connecting.
But we don't know what that information is.
For this new program that we're talking about?
The data plan ended already, right?
The data plan is still going, I believe. The initial allocation and that we got for the date for the whole package, the device data plan and the training, the funds ran out the first year. So it allowed us to go 12 months. And then there was another infusion of funds that came in from the state that allowed us to go for another.
For a second.
Well, a second round. Okay. Yeah. So on this particular program, I don't know what's going to happen now in terms of whether we can use this ATT funds that are coming down to be able to continue that service or if it has to be a whole different program. So that's, I just found out that this morning. I was researching all of this.
I said, Pauline, can we do this? Pauline, do we know that? Pauline?
Absolutely.
No way.
Has anyone tried to download the OC Senior Resources app on their iPhone?
I just got it.
It says that it's not, there's no eligible devices for app install. Sony Bravia 4K or something. I'll try it again.
Mr. OC.
It's in the app, your resource.
Yeah.
No, OC.
OC.
Senior Resources.
Yeah, like this.
No, can you stop?
So just choose.
See your resources.
Yeah.
So it's personal.
So, Marco, you collect the analytics for that set of landing pages, right?
When you say landing pages,
of all your OC resources, that particular app?
No.
Oh, you don't in the background?
The only thing we can collect is the amount of visitors.
The number of clicks you can collect.
But it doesn't give us any background on what resources we're looking for.
But when you do publicity materials, do you include that on your publicity? What I'm getting at is that's just another form of resources.
Right.
And if you're looking to collect stats, that would be another place. Because I can tell you, when I was at an event last weekend, people did not want to. They were not interested in a book. What they wanted were websites, and they wanted to talk to people. So if there are other websites that, like the Office on Aging, which is a central repository, that might be something that you could also collect data on.
Were those seniors or were those
older adults? Yes.
They were older adults.
Okay. Remember, not everybody is into paper. They want digital.
And that was the very first meeting that we had.
Yes.
We talked, that was actually my point. So it has to be a good combination of both, right? But I think that we're going to start to see adult children who are in their 70s.
Yes. Yes.
60s and 70s, yes. Doing that for their parents.
Right.
And they have a little bit, they're able to navigate technology, right?
Yes.
And then some have struggle and still need the paper. It's having a good combination of both. It's been very easy. So far, this is very easy to navigate.
If they're asking for websites, how are they wanting you to deliver it? Like,
so it depends. We have other publicity materials that have the URLs displayed, and they'll take that and they'll circle it. Or they want to talk to a live person, and we'll circle the phone numbers and they'll walk away with that. A lot of times, because we do so many outreach events, it's just kind of big. It doesn't matter whether it's a booker or a flyer. They want something smaller. So we've actually gone to smaller sizes or something small enough that someone can put it into their pocketbook, their handbag, or into a back pocket. So, and these kinds of things are a bit large.
Which again leads us back to, should we be printing these? Okay.
So we do have, we said the QR code, it just goes to our website. So it doesn't go directly to the app, it goes to our website, but our resources are available via the app. They're also available via the website too. Resources, you go down to the middle of the page and it takes you to the same exact thing, but it's for the computer versus like your phone, and then also the column. So there's three ways to get the resources. The same resources that my staff uses are the same resources that are available. And so when a database person uploads any new resource or she updates a phone number, it's immediate and all free. So like if we do get this list of technology, obviously it's not in there, we don't really have a lot of technology resources.
Okay.
Whatever we do get, we can make sure that we put it in the database.
Okay, so on the app, I just accidentally discovered. I put in my zip code 92677, and I went through the categories. It says recreation and community senior centers. So I click on that. The first thing that pops up is computer classes.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
we have the senior centers, but maybe we
yeah.
cross list them as technology.
Right.
If they offer it.
So then when you click on that, it gives you colleges and universities and computer classes. So colleges and universities, and then there's a whole listing of colleges and universities that have computer classes. Now that's not like to say that they're free computer classes, but they're classes that are available that I am sure if someone was interested in taking, they could. But I love the program that they did at Dana Hills High School because it not only taught seniors how to, you know, use their phone or use their iPad and use FaceTime and all of this, it brought two generations together. And it was really, really nice to kind of see that, you know, come to pass. So
are other senior centers copying that? Because that really was successful.
It was. I'm not sure if...
Well, you know, it all comes down to the director of the center and then having enough bandwidth within the staff to reach out to the local high school or two or three high schools in the region and expand that. Or in Irvine, we're right next to UCI, but we don't necessarily get that kind of input. So that's, again, what I was hoping that we might pull together a little bit of information as to some of the best practices that are out there. So yes, there are resources that want more than wonderful and good for all of us to know and have some clarity on. But what can't make something happen if there's not someone there to lead the initiative within that senior center or within that nonprofit or not enough to do on
what is all of these links and all the data up to date on
the resources.
Yeah,
we have a resource database specialist.
Okay, for example, I'm just looking at our website for Sunrise Senior Living, right, in Huntington Beach, and the link is incorrect because it has a URL that's https://https://. So there's a data entry problem. That might be affecting others, right?
No, so there's different ways she can. So she'll comb through. It's literally a full time job.
Oh, I'm sure.
We have over 1,500 resources, so she'll comb through every now and then and look through things. The other thing we have is on a yearly basis, an email gets sent to every organization to either update a phone number, contacts, whoever, or whatever needs to be updated services. So that happens on a yearly basis too. The only problem with that is sometimes the email that we have in there is somebody that used to be there and they're not there anymore. So what we're trying to do now is just there. Because every organization has to be but we're trying to just include those versus somebody's name. It's like personal email. So little by little, but she's just, I think she's going on 2 years now, but she's updated a lot from what it looked like before to what it is now. Even the services, a lot of the services used to be very, very basic. Now she's kind of enhanced all the services that they provide. And if there's a fee involved, do they have accessibility? Do they have, like, all of that kind of stuff is awesome.
So the other organization that does that, and I know our affiliation was with the Office on Aging, but it's 2110C.
Right.
And they do something very similar every year. They send out an email to all the providers and they ask for updates on the services, the times, the whatever. So that's the other.
What's the name of the organization so she could know?
Sunrise of Huntington Beach.
Sunrise
of Huntington Beach.
And it's just the HTT.
I think that they have a data. I think when they're however she's cutting and pasting the URL, it's preloading an HTTP, which is deleted.
So getting back to the idea of the high schools and how well that worked and helps, you know, contacting each high school is pretty daunting, like you were mentioning.
Yeah.
What about having a representative from some entity visit all school boards so that, you know, the school boards would then sort of a dissemination trickle down kind of thing where, this is something that we'd like to partner with you, and this is a need that we have in our community, and here's an example of where it's worked well, and this is something that the school district would be interested in.
So I know that I was appointed to this committee by Don Wagner, Supervisor Wagner, and I believe that all the other four supervisors have a representative.
They do.
So maybe that's a place. You know, sometimes it got to come from the top, right? To say this is a priority that needs to get out to the school board, or I don't know.
Yeah,
but that's why we're here, Carrie, right? To say what can we do that makes that advocates in the right direction?
Right.
Obviously, there's quite a lot of resources available that doesn't necessarily get out into the community. So we are all now better informed than they were a bit before. And I'd love to see whatever little something that you're printing and handing out at your
home. It's easy to read. It depends on the topic. We have to be five-way compliant, so it has to be large print,
large
columns, everything.
But they're already available. So,
through our marketing, through the funding we get through the county.
So we don't want to spend too much of your resource dollars to try and reach other communities. No, that's not what you're saying.
I just want to understand a little bit better. But I think there's so many resources available. It's just identifying. This is just one.
Right.
You've got the Office on Aging. You have 2110C. But even though you're focusing, and I know this from experience because we work with the senior centers, not all older adults go to senior centers.
Right.
And we hear that
over and over. Yeah.
So then it becomes, if somebody's going to go to a specific city and look at a senior center, they might as well go to the library because that's another place where a lot of older adults go, or libraries. And the other one is faith-based. I was just thinking about one that I know of. It is with the Indian community, Hindi speaking. And they've paired older adults with younger people, and it's younger people that teach the older adults how to use the technology.
Yeah.
So even though you're going to senior centers, you're going to be catching a very small piece of the pie. There's a huge sets of organizations outside of senior centers.
Sure. And we know that Saddleback is doing as well. There's lots of outreach that's going on. Again, it becomes an issue of a son, a 7-year-old son, called me needing help for his older brother. And I sent him to the Office on Aging because I couldn't help with what it was. But somebody else told him, Rachel knows everything about what's going on in the senior community. Sorry, of course I don't. I sent him over here. But it is an issue. It's so fragmented. I don't know how we help make it less
fragmented. You know, one of the things I thought of was, I said most seniors are going to is a pharmacy. And where the partnership could be with like a CVS or a Walgreens, something of that nature.
You smile because it sounds like something you thought of.
We do this all the time because of what we do. So when you try and deal with the big chains, you're going to deal with corporate. It's very difficult with the CVSs, the Walgreens, you know, the Rite Aids. But if you go to the independent pharmacies and the good neighbor pharmacies, you have a lot more luck. And we go to a lot of the pharmacies that cater just to specific communities of people, and they're great to work with. We can display our materials. So you kind of have to pick and choose your battles. There are lots of places, pharmacies, a good example of one. Food banks, believe it or not, is another place because of the need for food in this county. But great ideas. But I can tell you, with dealing with chain pharmacies or chain anything is a challenge.
Yeah. That layers of
bureaucracy.
We understand bureaucracy, don't we?
I was just going to ask or comment. A lot of times, I work with a lot of monolingual seniors. So a lot of times they go to community-based organizations like ours to get a lot of the resources. So I brought this to my office, and unfortunately, you know, none of them were able to read them. So what happens is, you know, I'll give it to my case manager, who would then go through it if they need some resources, and then explain to them. And then more than likely, they have to make that call, make that connection, go with them to, you know, to these places as well. So these are great, but if we don't have it translated, and I know it's a budget, unfortunately, it's not going to reach the monolingual seniors
we have a lot of communities.
Absolutely. So, but what I did with our agency is just giving it to the case manager and have the case manager peruse through them, and then whatever resources that are available to our community members.
That's a really good point. Is the app have a functionality to change language?
It's right there. Absolutely.
No, the app is
it's all in English.
But I'm looking on the website because I know the website itself is Google Translate. That could be clicked at the top, Google Translated, but I'm trying to look at the actual web page because it's an external text. It's not a county website anymore when you go to the resources. So I'm just looking at that to see.
When the pandemic hit, I think you know, the county did a really good job of trying to disperse technology. So one of our program for early intervention services for older adults, actually we had laptops actually given to the different CBOs that were working through these programs, and on the laptops, you know, we were teaching them how to get on Zoom, we were teaching them how to do all this stuff. So again, we take all the resources and translate them. So the case managers were making a video in language to like, okay, here's Zoom, here's this button, pick, you know, click on this and that. And you know, now, fortunately, they're able to get on Zoom. You just send them the link and they can get on to the workshops and the classes that are available to them from us and through other students as well. So it works.
Yeah.
We just have to kind of
get just a little bit more
effort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like just these certain languages, I don't see the actual Google translate. But
on the actual computer, it's on there. But yeah, I'm looking on the mobile, you might not be able to see that. It has, but I'm looking at the so that's our web page, but on the actual resources web page, which is a different, again, it's our provider who provides a website. They're called RTM Designs. It doesn't look like you can do that on there.
You know, the other thing we're running into with certain communities of individuals, I was just thinking about what Amina said, is they don't use websites. They don't go on the computers, but they use their smartphone.
Yes.
People, not computers.
So if I develop a couple of questions that you could use to gather this information from the senior center that you agreed to contact, and if we assign out a couple more so that maybe we get a better sense from all 34 cities, is that a useful exercise? And is it a useful allocation of your time?
It's
something that
we've
got support for.
I also think we need to add the parks and recs of the particular community. Because the Parks and Rec Department will have other classes that may not be affiliated with senior center.
It's not that I don't know. That's never an issue, Carrie.
Not usually. I worked for the city of Laguna Niguel for many, many years. And normally the Parks and Rec Department is the top of the umbrella for all of the programs for youth, seniors, older adults. So what you get from the senior centers is coming directly from the parks.
So falls in
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Parks and Recreation. Some cities call it Parks and Recreation. Others call it Communities Resources. Whatever name they use for their recreational programs and activities.
So it's redundant.
It would. I think so. Okay. I think so. I think if you contact the senior centers specifically, they're probably, if you have one in your community, they're going to be the most knowledgeable about what resources are available for seniors.
Gotcha.
In the community.
And if we get the kind of feedback of, well, we'd love to have students do this, but we don't know how to do that, I think that's one of the asks that SCAC as a board could recommend back to our Board of Supervisors as one of our asks for them to take up this up with the local school boards and see if they can't sponsor an outreach program that would match students in the community with us
through the Department of Education.
I love that so much
because I think so many of our young people, mine just having gone through OSHA now in Pepperdine, so many of our young people are not getting jobs in high school, and this is such a great transition into the workforce. Right, having the experience working with seniors, working at, you know, in computers, doing classes, whatever, if that's their passion, and maybe computer science is something that they're interested in, you know, probably all of them have some level of experience to do this. And then they may find passion, you know, in their work.
And of course, one of the things we talked about last week at SCAC was expanding caretaking opportunities and connections. And this could indeed, as you say, you know, be a way of exposing more teenagers, 20, to possibly looking at careers and working with their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And it's
going to be such just a wonderful bond for better generational purposes.
So I will work on that. You will not see it until the first week of May. I'm going to crawl under the table and just tell you how busy I am at this moment. But then I have a pretty good idea of what to put down. So I try to make it as easy as possible for us to gather consistent information wherever we can.
And what will you do with all the data that you
see? We report it to the SCAC General Council.
How would you collect results at some point, outcomes? So you've now got all this data. Is it going to go on to the Office on Aging's website so that the resources are available to the general public? The information, not just
That would be the ask. That would be useful for you to be able to say.
Well, the data team has been talking about creating a data page that has different data, you know, pieces. For older adults, but we just haven't got.
And staff's in the process of updating its website right now. We know our website is in dire need of an update. So we're going to be starting that. It's going to take a couple of months before we kind of get it up and running, but we're in the process of updating it. You know, some of the information is stale, hasn't been updated in a while. So, you know, we're going to start that process, and all of this input is welcome.
And you know, trying to be sure that this time that you all spent here and at SCAC, General Council is worthwhile to you and to the communities that we're serving. And I appreciate the nodding heads and the willingness to jump in and do some work. So two things I have. So any other comments? Am I missing anything?
Make a motion to adopt these goals, or formally adopt these goals.
Oh, not?
No, we talked about it before.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve these goals as submitted.
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Abstained. I guess I should have started there. thank you. The motion carries.
Perfect.
New business. Marcus, I'm going to throw it open to you. Do you have anything that needs to be addressed in this committee or added to?
No, the only thing I was just going to, Frank is not able to attend. He's at another meeting, but he is getting his classes going, but he's still looking for volunteers to help deliver the classes, so lay leaders. So if you have anybody that's, or you know of anybody that's interested in assisting in our health education program, you can reach out directly to Frank Fernandez. I can provide you his email address. So we're still looking for that. We are also looking for our ADRC advisory committee. We're looking for older adult representation because we do have that consumer representation. So we do have representation for the disabled community, but we haven't been able to secure anybody to represent the older adults. So again, if anybody that you know would be willing to serve on our advisory committee, we meet bi-monthly. So it's the third Thursday of every month, every other month, I'm sorry. But this is for our age and disabilities, age and disability resource connection advisory
committee. Age and disability resource connection.
So that is a partnership between the Office of Aging and the Center, the McIntosh Center. And we do receive funding for ADRC, which is a no wrong door service model that connects older adults and those disabilities to the resources that they need.
And is there a qualification, an age qualification, or
just
any other such thing?
60 and over.
60
that's
and over.
That's okay. What you would normally consider an older adult. So anybody 60 and over that is a consumer of services, that would be best, just because, you know, we want to get their input and feedback as to maybe what we might be missing as far as resources and things like that.
Circle back to Frank Fernandez. What is his email address?
So it's Frank, his name, Frank dot Hernandez, Hernandez at OCCR.OCGOV.com.
So Frank.Hernandez at OCCR.OCGOV.com.
Correct.
Rachel, did you ever get the list of people?
The roster. Was that sent out?
Oh, I have.
We take roll.
Okay.
But I'm talking about the one for all of the members to at least have a way to contact other members.
I'm taking
copious notes and trying to figure out who people are, and I don't have their contact information, you know, to try to make connections.
Are you talking about the roster for this committee?
The well-being rematch.
Yeah.
That would be so helpful.
You did send that out.
Yeah, I did.
Did it get sent out?
Yeah. I can resend it, not a problem.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Which leads me to, is this 1 o'clock time a good time to have this meeting?
Tend to be better for me.
Me too. But that's
fine. Whatever.
I know, which means that you're leaving wherever you are and driving across town from wherever you are to get here at 1 o'clock. And we need to have it on this Wednesday, but we do not need to have it at 1 o'clock.
I always have on this Wednesday a grocery distribution that's over at 11. So, I don't want it to all depend on me.
But a valuable member, so thank you. I'm getting yes, maybe no.
I have any time in relation.
The other committees, the other two subcommittees, transportation and housing, and senior citizens engagement, meet at 9:30 in the morning. As does SCAC, the general council meeting, meets at 9:30. This is the only one that meets at 1 during the day. Which, if it works, I have no idea why you meet at 1 or how this all came about to be.
Can we try it at 9:30 and see if we get attendance or if we don't manage to have a quorum?
Let me check and see what the process.
Check and be,
I need to check the availability of this room as well.
That will be tabled for the moment, but we'll have an answer and we will let you know in plenty of time.
And Rachel, June is a blackout.
Yeah.
June is blackout. So we're going to plan that at 9:30 in June.
Go on.
No, I was being facetious. I'm sorry. And I'd like some input from any of you as to if there are presentations that you would like to see here. Although I will tell you that there is some talk about sort of restructuring how all of these committees are going to work in the future, which probably won't happen for 3 or 4 more months. So if there are presentations, I had asked Brooke Weissman from Elder Law and Disability Rights Center to come and do a presentation for us. Probably most of you don't know her. She worked with Judge Carter with the homeless population that was along the riverbank. But also her services are available at a very discounted rate for those who are eligible financially. It's well worthwhile to understand the advocacy that they do for people disabled, for seniors, within estate planning, with divorce issues, conservatorship. So it's sort of nice to know that there is a group out there that operates on a nonprofit basis and what they do. So I have asked her to do a presentation for the May meeting. Brooke Weissman, the B. We also locating Weissman.
Yeah. Hence the question is a little bit out of order because we've already voted on the goals. So I didn't say anything. I missed the January meeting. So it sounds like this committee has moved away from healthcare. Is that correct? And it's more broad and very general looking at resources. So then in terms of presentations, is there a focus area or is it just wide open, any kind of topic that would apply to the older adult community and individuals with disabilities? Okay. Because it used to be focused on healthcare and most of the presentations focused on the healthcare, whereas we sort of moved away from
it. We did. So okay. when we talked in December and January, we did talk about feeling that we couldn't necessarily take on caregiver issues and wanted to see if there were some very specific kinds of accountable objectives that we could meet that would be tangible. That's how we got to this point. It doesn't mean that we can't in turn change our goals.
That's right. If you're talking about resources that would be available to individuals, because I think you just mentioned that particular resource has a fee associated with it. But if we're looking at elder abuse and fraud, there is another resource through the Office on Aging organization that can come in and do the presentation, and the services are at no cost.
We just had one.
Did you? Okay.
We did. We had the Housing and Transportation Commission. Sorry to put me off in there, but Housing and Transportation Commission last week had a deputy from the city of Stanton come in, Sarah, I think her last name, but she gave, she was excellent. She gave a really good presentation on fraud and scams and what to look for out there. You know, some of the feedback we're getting from the committee in general and, you know, various people is we seem to have the same presentations over and over and over, depending on what commission or committee. Subcommittee that you're sitting on. So I think that's going to be a discussion for when we do, we're redoing the bylaws right now. We will be, I can't get into too much detail on it, but we are looking at the structure of all of these standing committees. Because the last thing we want is for people to get disheartened or feel like they're wasting their time because nothing is coming of the input that they're giving. So we're trying to kind of figure out a way where people will feel a little bit more engaged and that their thoughts and suggestions and comments will have a little bit more of an impact on how things move forward in the future. So more to come on that right now. But yeah, this one, I will say when I saw Wellbeing Reimagined, you know, I'm only here since January and I thought, oh, okay, healthcare. First thing that came to my mind, I'm looking at the goals. I'm like, okay, this is interesting, you know, so I don't know how the focus got changed or how it all kind of went from, was it primarily?
It was before my time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it became Well-Being Reimagined, which is very broad.
Yeah. I mean, Well-Being Reimagined it runs the gamut in terms of, like, you know, physical health care, mental health care, all of that good stuff. So, I mean, that's a huge, broad spectrum to.
Yeah, it's too broad.
Yeah, I think it needs to be narrowed down a little bit, you know.
Which is how we sort of got to at least two areas, right? Resources and then below that, technology specifically.
And these goals are not, like, you guys all voted on them, but they're not set in stone. I mean, the key for all the commissions and committees have been, don't bite off too much more than you can chew.
Right.
You know, have something that you actively want to pursue, and you have the willingness, you have the buy-in of the commission that people will actually go out and do the work, and then come back with a result at the end of the day that can be folded into a report that goes to the Board of Supervisors. So while these are two goals, they're not the only ones. So you may want to have a discussion on, you know, the trajectory of this commission as it moves forward. Is this the path you want to go down for the rest of the year? Or is there something else you would rather focus on? And we can't have that discussion at this meeting, but we can agendize it for a future one. If everyone thinks that's okay.
We can talk about it.
We can add to May. So agenda is an item to discuss the future operations of the Well-Being Reimagined Committee.
Okay.
Right. Okay, good.
Okay. Is there any other new business?
It's May at 9:30.
I would say no. At this point, because I think it's got to be a decision of the committee, and that's, you know, to say yes, we're all agreed that it's going to. So I would say no. I'd say May will probably be 1:30, 1 o'clock.
Does anyone else have any old business? That being said, it's 2:04. The motion to adjourn, or can I simply adjourn? I can adjourn.